sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
I want you to open your Bible, if you would, this morning, and I am so excited to get to what God's got. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to go first to verse 34. Matthew 22, 34, glory to God. I tell you what, I get to study, and almost every Sunday morning I'll be studying. I get so excited about the Word of God, my hands start shaking. Not because I'm cold. I just get so excited. I don't know why, but I get the shakes on Sunday morning. After all these years of preaching God's Word, I'm still so excited about preaching God's Word. Matthew 22, verse 34. Praise the Lord. Father, we ask your blessing, Holy Spirit, upon the reading, the receiving of your Word. We're about to receive revelation that makes us better. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 22, 34. So here they come, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him on this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, I'm going to give you that in the New International Reader's Version, the New Living Translation, say it this way. What's the most important commandment? So they ask him, what is the greatest commandment, or what's the most important commandment? And you probably already knew this before I even shared it, but what's the answer? Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God. That's it. And then he tells you how: with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Praise God. Show us that one, if you would, in the Passion Translation. That verse 37, Jesus said it this way: you shall love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and every thought that's within you. I like that. You like that? They said, Lord, what's the most important thing? If we're bringing it all down to, don't miss this one, because if you miss this, the rest of it doesn't matter. Do you hear me? You say, well, I'm a tither. It don't matter if you're not tithing because you love God. Come on. I'm a faith person. I read the Bible every day and I speak God's Word. I got these confessions. You wouldn't believe the confessions I got. It don't matter if you don't love God. If the love you have with God and for God is not your motivation for whatever it is you're doing, then I'm going to say it like Paul said it in the Corinthians 13th chapter. He goes, if you just like a tinkling brass or a sounding gong, you just making noise. He said, even if you could speak with the tongues of angels, if you don't do it motivated by love, and that means love for God and love of God, you're in love with God, then you're nothing but a noisemaker. How many know we've had a lot of noisemakers in the body of Christ? A lot of people that honestly, they love what God has done for them. Come on, I'm talking to you now. They love for what God has done for them. Look at somebody goes, he's actually talking to you, neighbor. I do love what God has done for me. Do you hear me? I love what God has done for me. He supernaturally spared my life when I was drowning. Now, not everybody can say that. But he didn't do that for me because he loved me more than he loves you. He just did that because he loves me like he loves you. And you know how much he loves you and me? With the same exact love that he loved Jesus. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. God supernaturally intervened. When I was going to be a dead man, he supernaturally intervened. He said, man, I wish God would have saved my life like that. Boy, I'd have a testimony. God did save your life like that, because guess what? You were headed for an eternal fiery hell. That's worse than drowning. And he saved you. He spared you. He redeemed you and bought you back. Praise God. So when they said to Jesus, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? The greatest commandment. Jesus didn't even hesitate. And I want to point out something. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is not one of the Ten Commandments. It's not? No, it's not. That's not one of the Ten Commandments. How many know what the first of the Ten Commandments was? I won't ask you about all ten. But how about the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, what's the first and greatest commandment, Jesus? You think he'd go, thou shalt have no other God before me. Jesus didn't come to establish a robotic religion. Going through the motions. I am bringing my tithe now. I am putting it in. Why are you doing it? Because I am programmed to do it. Because I have been brainwashed by the preacher. Well, then don't do it. Quit. Stop. Don't tithe again. Don't give an offering again. Don't say another prayer. You hear me? Hey, one more time again until you realize this fact. If you're not doing it because of love, you're doing it for the wrong reason, and it doesn't matter if you do it or don't do it. It is the foundation that we can't miss, but yet somehow the majority of the world missed it. And I love the fact that the Sadducees and the Pharisees are the one that provoked Jesus to bring it out, because I call those guys the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees. In other words, they're the Democrats and the Republicans. The couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees. That goes on both sides of the aisle sometime. Now, if y'all know me, you know which side of the aisle I lean towards, because I don't believe in murdering unborn babies, and I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. And I believe that gender is determined by God, and it's proven by DNA, and I want to follow the science. Because you can operate on somebody, but I guarantee you this, you can make them look different. They can learn how to carry themselves different. They can have hormone therapy. They can have things they weren't born with and take away things they were born with. But when you take their DNA and you put it under a microscope, God's science will still prove to you that this one here has two X chromosomes and this one has an XY chromosome. So this one is a male and this one is a female, and nobody can change that. That is a scientific fact, not my opinion. It also happens to be my opinion, but it's a scientific fact. They're trying to teach our children. You want to know why the garbage is in our world? Because preachers are too scared to speak the truth. But I'm not one of those. Amen. But they're trying to teach our little boys and our little girls that you don't really know what you are until we tell you what, or you decide what you are. That's from the devil. That's what that is. Because, I mean, it was pretty clear when they were born what they are. And if they're having some struggles that involve their emotion, there's healing for that. And it doesn't involve hormone therapy and knives. Come on. What's the most important thing? I'm going to tell you this. If people were loving the Lord with every passion of their heart and the energy they're bearing and every thought that's within them, if your parents did that in your life and you're born into that family, you're not going to wonder whether you're boy or girl. If our politicians were all living this verse, we wouldn't have the problems we have. There wouldn't be, the Supreme Court wouldn't be debating about whether to uphold the demonic judicial decision of Roe versus Wade that literally contradicts our Constitution and stripped away the right guaranteed by the Constitution of the states to govern themselves. And they crammed abortion down our throats and murdered 64 million unborn babies between 1973 and now. But thanks be to God that there is a wave and a push and momentum on the side of life. You want to know why part of that's happening? Part of that's happening because Christians are praying and preachers are actually preaching. I confess before you that I preached in this church for about 23 years with my eyes wide shut to abortion, pretending like it didn't exist, because I needed to be about your spiritual life. I needed to be making sure that you were going to make it and teaching you how to live the holy life and how to receive your healing and how to get your bills paid. And you know, and it was all about, for me, it was all about you. You're the precious sheep that God gave me to take care of. So I was poor. I was all about you. See, we were all about our congregation, and the enemy was all about destroying our nation. But no more. We are not asleep anymore. And we're coming back to our first love. The foundation that everything hinges on. What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What's the most important thing? Love the Lord with every passion of your heart and all the energy of your being and every thought that's within you. Here's how I teach it to kids, because you know when you teach kids, you got to teach a little different. And I love to teach kids because it helps me. Kids, they ask Jesus what the most important thing that God ever wants us to do. And you know what he said? He said, just love God with everything you got all the time. How many of y'all like the kid version? Love God with everything you got all the time. He said, well, what about this? If you love God with everything you got all the time, it'll take care of itself. Amen. So that is the most important thing. Let me state this to you, and if you're taking notes, would you please write this down? The most important thing in my life every day is to nurture your love for God. Nurture your love for God every day. You say, well, I got a big schedule ahead of me this week. Boy, I've got to get this done and this done and this done and this done. I've got this deadline. I've got these people wanting this and that people wanting that. Let me ask you a question. What's the most important thing? Jesus answered, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the most important thing? Your love with God. It's a lifelong love commitment. First from him to you. And the only natural response, if somebody loves you so much that they give themselves up for you, the only natural response would be to love them with the same kind of love back. And that means you would love them so much you give yourself up for them. Jesus said it this way, if you don't take up your cross daily and deny yourself, you're not worthy to be my disciple. So the most important thing in our lives every day, it's not to get the yard mowed, not to work on the house. What's the most important thing that you can do today and every day, tomorrow, Monday? Well, I can go to work. That's important. The most important thing is working on your love relationship with God. Yes, go to work by all means, but work on your relationship with God. So what's that look like? Psalms 116. Had this message in my heart, and I said, Lord, I don't want to just use the same old verses that just jump up in my mind every time I think about something. I want you to take me somewhere I don't normally go. And Lord, he certainly did. I don't know that I've ever preached out of Psalms 116. Psalms 116, verse 1, just one verse. Psalm 116, verse 1 says this, I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me and he hears my prayers and he answers them. Can you say that and say it not by faith, but say it by reality? I'm passionately in love with God. Doesn't that just kind of personify what Jesus was talking about? He goes, what's the most important thing? He goes, you to love the Lord your God with everything you have. And then to be able to say this, I am passionately in love with God. I am passionately in love with God. Hallelujah. Why? In this verse, because he listens to me. Husbands, wives, you want to have a good relationship with your other? Be a listener. The reason why the psalmist wrote here, he goes, I am passionately in love with God because God listens to me and he hears my prayers and answers them. So here's what the Lord gave me in regard to that. You might want to write this down. A persistent prayer life. A persistent prayer life leads to a passionate love life. You're not going to meet someone who can literally say, I am passionately in love with God, who is a prayerless person. Honestly, the amount of passion that you have in your love life with God is going to be directly related to how passionate your prayer life is. Do you know that when you come before the Almighty God to pour out your heart, that you're talking to a Father who loves you so much that he would give his only Son? And who has promised you in his word that whatever you ask in his name, he will grant it. And that you have favor and blessing from him. You're not trying to talk some hard-hearted ruler into doing something you desperately need. You're coming to your own Father. They said, teach us to pray, Jesus. What did he say? Pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. You know, right? That's the King James Version. What's he really saying? He's saying, first of all, when you want to pray, remember who you're praying to. Who are you praying to? Your Father, who happens to be in heaven, seated above all your problems. And then you remind yourself how exalted God is by saying, hallowed be thy name. So I don't even know what that means. It means that your name, your authority, your power is above everything that can be named. You are it, God. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Here the psalmist said, I'm passionately in love with you because you answer my prayers. And I'm saying this, a persistent prayer life leads to a passionate love life with the Lord.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
A persistent prayer life leads to a passionate love life with the Lord. Open your Bible to John chapter 15, if you would, John 15. And again, I'm going to use the Passion Translation, but the Gospel of John, 15th chapter, 3rd verse through the 8th verse, Jesus said this, the words that I have spoken to you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as the branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine. And you're my branches. As you live in life union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Do you know why bullies try to be bullies? Because on the inside they feel powerless and they're desperately grasping for some feeling of power, so they bully other people. How many know we got some bullies in this nation trying to bully their agenda because the truth is they're absolutely powerless? Why? Because they're separated from he who is the source of life. That'd be Jesus. Now, Jesus said this way. I'm going to quote the other. He said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Abide. It means take up residence. Live there. It doesn't mean visit when you got a problem. Come on. There are a lot of foxhole Christians. What do you mean foxhole Christians? If somebody's shooting at you, you jump in a foxhole and start praying. But other than that, not so much. Crisis Christianity is not true Christianity. Consistent, all the time, abiding in Jesus is what it's really all about. Amen. Glory to God. I like the way the Passion translators called it the life union. And then they also went on to speak this, if you live your life intimately joined to mine. That's not in and out. That's not, I went to church on Mother's Day and Christmas. That is, whether there's church today or there's not church today, me and Jesus are a thing. He's the first thing on my mind every morning when I wake up, and he's the last thing on my mind every night when I go to bed. I love my wife, but I love Jesus more. He said, oh, she jealous of that? She would have it no other way. Because I'm commanded as a husband to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I tell you this, I'm completely, totally incapable of doing that without loving him first. Amen? So he says, if you live your life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it'll be done. Oh, sounds good. Praise God. Well, but if I preach that, won't that make people selfish? Let's find out. Next verse. They're living in life union. The word's living powerfully in them. They're asking whatever they will, and Jesus promised it being done. And then he said this, when your lives bear abundant fruit, talking about the fruit of the answered prayer, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. In other words, when your prayers are powerful and effective, it doesn't glorify you. It glorifies him who answers the prayers. So when your life bears abundant fruit, you demonstrate you're my mature disciples who glorify my Father. And now here, we're coming up on the ninth verse, and I want you to get this in case my soothing voice has lulled you to sleep. I want you to wake up. Because this is the principal thing right here in this verse, verse 9. Here it comes. Ready? I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Jesus is talking to you and me. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You hear me? Jesus, what's the most important thing? Love the Lord your God with everything you got. All the passion of your heart, every thought, all that stuff. I'm going to do that by remembering who God is to me, what God has done for me, and by having a consistent, continual relationship with him. Not in and out. Hallelujah. I already made this comment, but I'm going to make it again in case you missed it. We're to abide in Christ. We're to live there. We're not supposed to visit when we need something or when we feel like it. If you cut a branch off the tree, what happens to the branch? How about this? I do some construction work, so I got nail guns and duct tape, right? So I'm going to take that dead limb, stick it right back where I cut it off from, and I'm going to nail it to the tree and duct tape it. Glory to God, it's fixed. The branch has rejoined its union. No, it's not grafted in. It just appears, do you hear me? Listen to me. It appears to be attached, but it's not grafted in. See, what's the difference? It's not literally joined to the tree. It just appears to be. You see, well, how do I know the difference? How can I tell the difference between a branch? That's you and me, we're branches. How can I tell the difference between a branch that appears to be joined to the tree and one that is joined to the tree? Real simple. Fruit. Life. It's not attached. It just looks like it is. Oh, it was attached. It was growing great, but I took it off. And then I put it back in. Then I take it off. And I put it back in. Said, well, man, that branch is dead and drying up. What's going on? It's not abiding. It's not remaining. It's not in a continual relationship. It's just a visitor. I want to see where I had originally intended to finish this, see if we can put a bow on it. I believe we can. Praise the Lord. Just one verse, Proverbs 4:10, Passion Translation. You'll love this one. My son, if you'll take the time to stop and listen to me and embrace what I say, you'll live a long, happy life full of understanding in every way. Notice the words, take the time. The thing about time is you can't get any more of it. There's only 24, and it's limited to that. But the good news is everybody has the same amount. And if God's asking us to spend time with him, it's not because we don't have time. It's because we need to take the time. You take charge of your time. But I got to be at work at 7. Well, then get up earlier. I'm not a morning person. Well, stay up later. Well, I'm not early or later. Use your lunch break. I like to eat. Well, I can't help you. You've got too many excuses. Just stay spiritually impoverished and let the devil kick you around the rest of your life because you won't take the time. You'd rather make excuses than take the time. Glory to God. How many of you know I said that because I love you? We've got to take the time. That means give me that time back. You're not stealing my time. I'm taking it. See what the Lord would have you to set aside. You might find out you got a lot of time. You've just been spending it on other things. My son, take the time. Put that up there one last time. Take the time to stop and listen to me. So it's first I'm taking the time. I'm seizing the moment. I'm stopping. Everything got to stop now. I'm hitting the pause button. And then I'm what? What's next? I'm listening. And then what? There's one last thing. What am I doing with what I'm listening? I'm embracing it. If I don't do all those things, if I skip any one of them, it's incomplete. But I've got to take the time to stop and to listen and to embrace. How many are glad you heard this today? How many want to have that kind of life? I want to live a long, happy life full of understanding in every way. That's exactly how I want to live. I want to live a long, happy life full of understanding. And what do I need to do? I need to take the time to stop and listen and embrace what he's saying. So, well, I thought we was talking about the most important thing is to love God. How you think I'm going to love God if I don't stop and listen and embrace what he's got to say? I'm not. It all goes together. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. If you've got a devoted time set aside for the Lord and it's working great for you and it's not leaving any spiritual lack or hunger in your life, here's my advice to you. Continue in what God has got you doing. If you're healthy, don't change your diet. Come on. But if you find yourself lacking, you find yourself having symptoms in your life, you might want to lay off of the CNN and get the Bible. Amen. Set it aside. Make changes. Be adapting. And know this too. You say, well, I'm in this season in my life, man. It's a beautiful season. I'm spending time with the Lord. I've never felt better. I'm feeling so refreshed, invigorated. My spiritual life is wonderful. Praise God. I love that. I'm glad to hear it. I got news for you. The Lord's going to adjust you in the future because it won't always just stay the same. Soon, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to feel like, where'd he go? And the Lord will have backed up just a couple of steps from you where you were nice and comfortable right up there next to him. And he will say, come here. Come on up here. I got something else for you. You've been enjoying that, but I come up here. Come on. And it never stops. It never gets boring and it never gets old. Glory to God. Well, all that's a reflection of relationship, of a love relationship with God. So I simply want to ask you this question. Do you love the Lord? And you can't answer yes to that if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life. So you know what? I've had a relationship with Jesus, but I need to renew that. I want this continuous relationship with Jesus. So starting today, starting this minute, I want a new life with Jesus as the Lord of my time and my energy and my efforts and my everything. If you've not let Jesus be Lord over your everything, and today you're saying, today I want to start with that. Would you raise your hand? Want to see that? Anybody? Yes, yes. Praise you, Jesus. I've not been letting you Lord over my time. I've not been letting you Lord over my feelings. Today I want to turn away from that and I want to just set my focus on you. Come on, anyone else? Raise your hand for that. Raise your hand for that. If you're watching us on Facebook or however you're hearing this, you need to respond. Say, why? You can't see me. No, God can. God can. I'm about to pray. If you know you need to ask God for a fresh start today, just get your hand up and we're going to pray. Fresh start. I want you to pray out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for your love, your grace that transforms. Forgive me, Father, when I've let things distract me. When I've let things come between us, I realize how important my love relationship with you is. I invite you, Jesus, to Lord over me in every way, over my time, energy, efforts, emotions. I surrender it all to you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to the Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.